was reading an article this week, and it was saying how our culture today kind of views freedom as something they take for granted or like a human right. And we forget that freedom isn't a right or even a gift. It's something that you have to fight for, to earn. And it's somewhat unique in the history of our world, in any society, to enjoy the freedoms that we have in our country today. And so, Walt, I know you stood, so thank you for your service, and really anybody else that served as well. Thank you, guys. You're part of the reason we enjoy what we do, and we are indebted to you and very thankful for your service. If you just give one more applause, I just think that's really cool. Well, this week, I had to send Mike Edge to a meeting in downtown Phoenix. I couldn't attend, but he could, and so he headed out there. And if you know Mike, he was running a little bit late, so he had to park in a no parking zone. But he was trying to make the best of it, so he left a little note to the cop, see if he could kind of bribe the cop a little bit. And he put this under his windshield, and it read this way, the windshield wiper, and it read this way: "I've circled the block 10 times, and I have to make this appointment, or my boss is going to be upset with me. Forgive us our trespasses," right? Does it keep the theme we're going with? Well, when he got back, unfortunately, he got a ticket, but the officer left him a note under the same place, and the note read this way: "I've circled the block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, my boss will be upset with me. Lead us not into temptation." There we go. Now, obviously, I have to confess, that's not a real story, but it does lead wonderfully into this next part of the Lord's Prayer as we go through this series on the Lord's Prayer. And today we're going to talk about how God helps us overcome temptation, how he gives us strength to not just not do the sin, but to overcome that particular sin in our life. And God has the power, and he does all these amazing things. But Jesus said it this way, and it's a prayer that we've gone through every single Sunday almost since I've been here, and it goes like this. He said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Sometimes we just cut it with the evil, but deliver us from the evil one. I think we forget that Satan's alive and well, and he's doing all sorts of different things to try to complicate and destroy our life. I think we forget that his whole purpose for our life is to destroy us and to take us to hell. The last thing in the world he wants is for us to go to heaven, and so he's against us, and he's mean, and he's jerky, and he does all sorts of difficult things to complicate our life as we go through this world. So when we read this, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," it's really a big deal. It's protecting us from our adversary. It's giving us strength to overcome. It's giving us victory. That's a powerful thing. And temptation is really the world's oldest problem because of that adversary that is Satan. It's something that he got way back in the Garden of Eden, right? He deceived Eve and deceived Adam, and then our world's never been the same since. He knows that we have our weaknesses because we live in this fallen world. He knows what those weaknesses are. Whether they be temper or eating or lust or spending or drinking or whatever they are, he knows exactly which ones they are, and he knows exactly which buttons to hit to cause us to struggle with them. He knows that we don't have areas under control in our life. He knows that we're just weak in whatever area it might be. And he knows if he just sets up the right circumstances, man, again and again, we fall headlong into those, and we know it's true. Even though you guys are amazing, we know it's true. But the good news is that God says, "I want to help you overcome these things. I want to help you overcome the adversary's schemes and all the different things that he's trying to do in your life. I want to give you victory over the complications and over the destruction that's going on in your life. I want to help you overcome temptation." In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul actually talks about this a little bit. And these are incredibly comforting words, actually. But he says, "Every temptation that comes your way is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promises, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your power to resist. At the time you are tempted, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out." It's really an amazing promise, and this verse is filled with stuff that tells us a lot about what temptation is. I'm going to break it down just a little bit, and the first word I want to focus on in this verse is the word normally. Normally. Temptation is not only normal, but God in his power forces Satan to work within these bounds. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that he could put in your life that you would fall just like that. But God forces Satan to work within these bounds. And Satan's glad to do it because these things work really well. I mean, he's done them over and over and over throughout the history of the world. These things over and over and over get people to stumble, get people to fall, get people to turn away from God. He works well within this, but God doesn't let him do any of this because he knows that we'd stand no chance. So these temptations are normal. In other words, everybody in human history has faced them. They're normal because everybody faces temptation. It happens to everybody. We're all in the same boat because Satan hates us all, right? He's looking to destroy us all. I mean, that's really his goal. And I share it that way because every once in a while I find somebody come to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, I haven't struggled with temptation for 20 years. And there's a theological term for a person like that. It's what you get when you cross a crocodile with an abalone. It's a crocabalone, right? In other words, everybody's tempted. We're all in the same boat because we all have the same adversary. And he has the same goal for every single one of us. But again, the good part about this is since these temptations are common, there's also common solutions. See, Satan uses the same bag of tricks over and over and over, and God gives you the exact playbook on how to overcome those temptations again and again and again. And so he promises, "I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you overcome them." And he won't allow more on us than he puts in us to bear up under these different struggles, these different temptations that Satan tries to put in our way. And I share that way because sometimes people will say to me, "Well, Pastor, I was just in this situation and I didn't have a choice, right? I didn't have a choice. I had to sin. Everybody was doing it. I had to go along to get along. I didn't stand a chance in the midst of that moment," or whatever the deal might be. But that's not true either. God can help us overcome any situation, regardless of the temptation that it is. Now, are we expected to live a perfect life as we live on this earth? What do you think, yes or no? Actually, it's yes. I said it that way, so you'd say no. But it is yes. He calls us to follow him perfectly, right? When we don't, it's called sin. It's called rebellion against God. It's where it gets our life and all that kind of complication. So I'll ask you the next thing. Can we actually live that perfect life here on this earth? No. Now we stink at it, to be honest. We fall short of it again and again and again. We complicate our lives, even though we'd hate that it complicates our life. We destroy different relationships, different things in our life, even though that's the last thing that we want to do. We're selfish individuals, and boy, Satan plays on that. Truth is, as long as you live here on this earth, you will never be sinless. But God has made it possible, through his power, for you to sin less. And do you see the value in sinning less? Do you see all the areas in your life that you could uncomplicate or prevent destruction from reaping and having all sorts of a heyday with? Can you understand how it would simplify your life if you could sin less, especially in certain areas of your life? If he could just help you overcome? Truth is, again, you'll never be sinless, but you can sin less. And so the question really this morning is, how does God help us overcome the evil that Satan wants to do in our life? How does he help us overcome those things that would cause us to stop believing in him, stop trusting in him? How do we overcome the evil one? He gives us four things today that are in his word, and each one of these are application steps, and they kind of build on each other. Each one of them are hard, obviously, but this is the playbook on how do you overcome temptation in your life. And one of the first things he tells us this morning, and this especially is true not just in our generation, but all generations, but it seems like especially true today, refuse to be intimidated. I know that's kind of a funny way of putting it, but in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 11, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." See, there's three common reactions when we're tempted, none of them helpful. One of the reactions is alarm. How in the world could I have thought that? What's going on in my head? What's going on in my heart? Am I impudent and a Christian? Second one would be frustration. I keep falling in the same area. Why don't I trust God more? Why don't I believe more? Why don't I rely on his strength more? I keep falling in the same area again and again and again. Am I even a Christian? Discouragement. I'm never going to be able to change. I keep experiencing the same thing, keep complicating my life in the same areas. It keeps happening again and again. I don't seem to be able to stand up against it. Am I even a Christian? So just so you know, Satan's number one ploy, his number one strategy is to intimidate you into submission. Before you even start fighting, just to intimidate you into submission so that you don't even try, so that you play the victim in this life. But it's not a sin to be tempted. You need to understand that. It's not a sin for those things to go through your mind. It's a sin to give in to those temptations, into those thoughts, into those desires. The Bible even says that Jesus was tempted. I mean, think about that for a second. It says he was tempted in all points, just as we are, and yet he never sinned. And that blows me away. There's a point, right, before we do something we know is wrong, that we're thinking, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And he always chose God. He always chose the right thing. He never destroyed the relationship. He never destroyed or complicated his life. He just kept choosing God every single time. Maybe we forget that he's 100% man that did struggle with this stuff, but he was also 100% God that allowed him to keep choosing right. There's a saying, and I like, but this kind of goes with this. You cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I like the imagery of that because partly I don't have enough hair, so I could feel the claws or something, but you don't have to let them do that. That's the whole point. And that's just another way of saying you can't keep all the thoughts the devil wants to put in your mind out of your mind, but you can reject them. I think a lot of people live under this unnecessary condemnation, particularly Christians. They say, how could I think such a thing? I mean, that's just awful. I thought it was beyond that. Why is it coming into my head? The truth is, you'll never outgrow temptation. In fact, the closer and closer you get to the Lord, the harder and harder Satan tries, right? He's trying to bring you down because he knows if he brings you down, now he's bringing down a whole bunch of people with you. But I want you to notice, hey, or just understand, we're in a war. I mean, that's why he brings up the evil one in the first place, to remind us we have an adversary. I didn't go through life pretending he doesn't exist, pretending he's not real, pretending he isn't doing stuff. I don't know, but we're in a war. In fact, notice all the war terminology here. Be strong, mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Take your stand. Truth is, Christian life is a battle. The earth is hard because Satan's working actively in the midst of it. It's hard. It's tough. The words used to describe a Christian life are words like fight and conquer and strive and battle and overcome and victory. Satan wants to intimidate you. He wants you to feel guilty just for being tempted. In fact, have you ever prayed a prayer, or actually you've just been in the midst of praying maybe, and all of a sudden this off-the-wall idea that comes in from left field just comes into your mind while you're praying to God, and it's just horrible, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this just came into my mind. What's wrong with me? How did that happen? Who put it there? And the answer is Satan did. He's messing with you. But again, you don't have to feel guilty about the thought. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. Sometimes the devil tries to make you feel guilty even before he tempts you. He'll get you to think things like this, man, if you were ever tempted in that area, you'd fall just like that. No chance. And it scares you out of your mind. So step one is don't be bullied by the devil. You have a power that he doesn't. You have Jesus Christ. And he gives you victory over Satan. He gives you power over Satan. In Jesus' name, Satan be gone, and Satan has to listen to you. You don't have to be bullied by Satan at all. So refuse to be intimidated. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say you won't have temptations. It just says you won't fulfill them. Temptation just means you're normal, not evil. You're human. It's a part of life. But life is a test because Satan's in it. So step one, don't be intimidated anymore. He goes on and he gives us a second one too. And it's this, request help from God. It's insane that we try to fight Satan by ourselves, but so often we do. God's the last person that we bring into it, the last person we're thinking about. But call upon God, that's what he says. In Psalm 50 verse 15, it says, call on me when trouble comes and I will save you and you will praise me. I love that last part, right? I don't know if you've seen God work in your life in powerful ways. Probably most people have at different points in their life. But if you come to church that next Sunday after he just did something amazing, right? You're sitting in church and you're like, you're awesome, God. And I'm singing songs with a different tempo, right? I'm doing the prayer with a different tempo. If I've just blown it in my life and I can't even look at anybody straight because I feel so guilty and I hear the words of confession and the words, I forgive you from God. All of a sudden, that takes on new meaning, and I praise God for his faithfulness and for his care. I'll read this again. When trouble comes, I will save you, and you will praise me. God says, I'm going to come through for you. I come through for all my kids. Just call upon me. I'm here. Stop trying to fight Satan alone. Call upon me. This is what I call a microwave prayer, too. It's not a long conversation with God, right? It's just help. God, help. Things are a mess right now. I'm being tempted. Help. I need your help right now. It's an SOS. It's a Mayday. Mayday. Come through for me now. It doesn't need to be a long prayer. Just help. And the Bible is filled with examples of guys who have done this. David, Daniel, Peter, Paul. God provided assistance to all his kids when they just asked him. He started asking, well, when should I pray a microwave prayer? And the answer is probably all the time, right? But let me give you some examples. Have you ever been tempted to commit a felony when your kids have irritated you to the limit? If so, pray, right? Have you ever been tempted to make a sarcastic reply to a boss when he blames you for his mistakes and from in front of your coworkers? Pray, right? Before you say something. When you're filling out your tax returns, pray that he helps you be honest. When you're smelling that aroma of hot cinnamon rolls in the mall or whatever, pray for self-restraint so you don't go eat 15 of them, right? I mean, just pray. God, I'm being led into temptation right now. I need your help. And you call out to the Lord. But why does God want you to ask for help? And here's the thing, because God gets how hard it is. Do you get that? He sees better than we do what Satan's trying to do. And we forget, too, that he experienced the same temptations that we do, right? Jesus did. He was 100% man. He felt all of that temptations. I mean, the 100% God part is what allowed him to say no. But in Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, it says, Jesus had the same temptations that we do, though he never once gave in to them and sinned. So let us come boldly to God and face and find grace to help in our time of need. We have a sympathetic God that gets it, that gets how hard it is in the midst of this life to say no to Satan, to remain firm, to have the perspective that sees the destruction that would come if we would do those things. Jesus was tempted just like we are. Note the words, same temptations. It's really an amazing thought, isn't it? Did Jesus ever struggle with honesty then? Yeah. Didn't that blow your mind for just a second? Did he struggle with honesty? Did he ever struggle with anger or self-pity or sexuality? Yeah. He never gave in to them. He had free will, though. He could have. The scripture again and again said that he always chose God, never sinned. But here's the thing. He understands how hard those temptations are. When all of a sudden they come flooding upon you, when all of a sudden it seems like the right thing to do, when all of a sudden you don't care about what the consequences are, he gets how hard that is. But not only did he not sin, he was able to overcome. And he promises, I'll give you that same power to overcome those things in your life. So he says, come boldly with no hesitation. Don't be intimidated anymore by Satan. Raise your voice to God and cry out to him for help. So not being bullied by Satan anymore, and you've gotten God on your side, so you're not fighting him alone. And then he gives us this next piece, and this is almost pure psychology, but it works. Darn it, it works. Refocus your attention, and that's what he shares with us in James 1, verses 14 through 15. Temptation is the pull of your own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions. There's a truth in life, and it's this, that the way that you think determines the way that you feel, and the way that you feel determines the way that you act. Temptation then always begins with the thoughts. It always begins in the mind. You don't just have an affair. There's thousands of sins that you commit before you ever get to that affair. There's thousands of rationalizations that have to go through your mind before you ever get to the affair. There's thousands of excuses that you've shared with yourself over and over and over before you ever get to the sin. It always starts in the mind. Whatever gets your attention, though, gets you. And so the key to overcoming temptation is refocus your attention, to just look at something else. I know that seems simple, but it's powerful. To don't try to fight temptation, but just refocus. It's a psychological law. There's a lot of people in our culture that are struggling with porn right now. And yet they sit at the computer, and they sit at the computer, and they sit, get up and get away from that thing for a little. Go take a walk. Go spend time with your wife. Go play with your kids. Do something to change the channels in your head so that you don't go to the thing that's tempting you the most. Psychological law, you always move toward what you're focusing on. For example, have you ever been on the side of a cliff and you're looking over? I don't know, there's like something like pulling you, saying jump or something like that. It's like this weird thing, you're looking over and over and over and you're thinking, I probably could walk on that or whatever, I don't know. But whatever gets your attention gets you. That's why it's happening. Or if you're on a diet, right, and you're telling yourself, I'm not hungry, I'm not hungry, I'm not hungry, I'm not hungry. What are you going to get pretty soon? Hungry. Why? Because all you're focusing on is your hunger, on food. Whatever you focus on gets you. And so here's a truth. God says, stop focusing on what you don't want and start focusing on what you do want. Does that make a difference? Like, a lot of us are selfish, right? But if we focused, let's say, for example, we wanted a better relationship with our spouse or a better relationship with our kids. It's not just going to happen by accident. You got to focus on what you want and then start doing those things. It's true in all sorts of different areas of life, right? It's not complicated, but you got to start focusing on them, doing those things so that you can accomplish them. I talk to people all the time that say I'm depressed. Sometimes I'll just ask them, I said, do you want to be? They said, well, no, we don't want to be. But I said, but that's all you've been telling me. I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed. Stop focusing on it. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Temptation always comes in three phases. Attention, Satan gets your attention. Arousal. You get your emotions and your feelings start kicking in, right? Action. James says evil thoughts lead to evil actions. So here's the key to overcoming temptation. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't fight the temptation, whatever habit you're trying to break. Simply refocus your attention onto something better, onto something else. I'm telling you, the devil puts all kinds of crazy thoughts in your mind. You don't have to feel guilty about the thoughts. It's always what you do with them. Do you hang on to them? Do you keep yourself in the same area of the temptation? I mean, think about it. In Scripture, Jesus tells a thing. He's like, it's better to cut off your arm, right, so that you don't struggle with that sin anymore, than to have two arms and go to hell. Or he says it's better to have one arm and go into heaven than two arms and go into hell. He's saying avoid those things that cause you to keep stumbling over and over and over. Focus on better things. Focus on something else. It seems so simplistic, but it is powerful in its action. Change the channels. Because you can't always control the circumstances of your life, and you can't always control the way you're feeling in the moment, but you can control what you focus on. I'll give you one last thing. It's be reborn. I know it sounds funny. It says, God has chosen to give us birth through the word of truth. This is really the most important key in overcoming the temptation, though. The term rebirth, reborn, I've told you lots of times. Born again, I used to not like that term. It reminded me of being reincarnated or something like that. It's not a word that they used in Lutheran circles a whole bunch. But the more I've read through Scripture, the more and more I realize that's not it. It's simply talking about a second chance, a new beginning. God washes away the sin, right? Through Jesus, he forgives us. And now we're unencumbered by that past so that we can have the strength to move forward, forgiven and freed to live a different way, to live a better way. It's like God has this big whiteboard and he starts writing all your sins on the whiteboard. Wouldn't that be brutal? Every single stroke of that pen you're feeling, everything he's writing down you know is true, you're feeling every single bit of weight of all those sins. You're overwhelmed. That's when you come and you say, God, take my life, the good, the bad, and obviously the ugly that's up on that board, and Jesus Christ, save me. Then he takes a big eraser, right, and he erases it. Not like the whiteboards we have here, right, where you can still see the writing underneath, but erasing it where there's no evidence of anything that was before. And here's the thing about God. He doesn't forget anything, but he chooses to forget our sin when we confess it to him. He gives us a new beginning with him over and over and over. That's why he loves us the way he does. He doesn't let anything get in the way of that. He just loves you, and he wants you to be with him in heaven. He'll do anything for you because he keeps forgiving all that garbage. I get a new start, a new life. I get to be reborn. And again, it doesn't mean being a baby again, right? It just means getting that second chance, like when you were a kid and playing kickball, and I don't know, you missed it, but somebody called do-over, and you're like, oh, awesome, you know? And I get another chance. I get another chance to get the home run or whatever it is. I think even if there was no such thing as heaven, and there is, but even if there wasn't, I think this forgiveness thing, it would be worth becoming a Christian just to have that freedom from your past, just to have those new beginnings again, those fresh starts. He's saying you need to be reborn, though, because you need God's power in your life. Satan's mean, and he tries all sorts of things. You need him by your side. You need his power. You need him working. I shared this a couple of years ago, but it happened again just recently, so I'm going to share it again. But every once in a while, somebody who's new will come to our church, and, you know, they're just asking questions. They don't know, but they'll say stuff like this. The pastor, really enjoy your talks. They're really applicable. I get a lot out of them, but why do you keep talking about Jesus? And that's kind of a funny question for a pastor, right? But if you've never been to church, it's a legit question, right? And I've had that question pop up over the years. And I always say this, I keep talking about Jesus because I don't give you a chance in the world of changing. I don't give you a chance in a world of having hope if I don't give you Jesus. Because it's Jesus that takes away our sins. It's Jesus that gives us that fresh start. It's Jesus that frees us from our past. It's Jesus that gives us peace in the midst of the moment, strength in the midst of the moment, hope in the midst of the moment. I don't give you any chance at changing anything, any hope at all, if I don't give you Jesus. He's the reason we're here this morning. We thank him for the forgiveness of sins. We thank him for the new beginnings. We thank him for the strength to fight the battles. We thank him for the truth in which we can stand. We thank him. And so we need him in our life. We need him desperately to help us navigate this world because it's hard without him. We need to experience the good stuff that he talks about in his word. We want a glimpse of that peace and that hope and that strength. We need that freedom to go live our life a different way. So let Jesus, you know, the one who rose from the dead on Easter, let this Jesus make a true difference in your life. And may he remind you continually that he's got you, that he loves you, that he's freed you, because you're his kids, because he loves you. And he'll give you the power to even do this, overcome the temptation in your life. Great is the love of our God. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And again, as I've said almost every week in this series, thanks for slowing us down to take a look at this different part of the Lord's Prayer. And this one's a big one, Lord. It reminds us that we do have an adversary, and it reminds us that you give us victory over him. And there's a lot of joy in that. But as we look at our life, we see that so often we forget that victory part of yours. We forget that you provided us the way out. We forget that you are able to help us overcome. And we find ourselves continually complicating our lives further. And so today, Lord, we just pray. Remind us to call out to you when we're struggling. Remind us to shift our focus onto you and to other things that are better in the midst of the temptation. Remind us that you give us a power, Lord, to say no, that you give us a power to not be intimidated, that you give us a power to take that out, that you give us the strength to endure and to overcome the temptations that Satan tries to do in our life. And we pray that, Lord, because so desperately we want to uncomplicate our life, so desperately we want to get rid of some of that destruction we keep doing in our life, and so desperately we want to hear from you, good and faithful servant, well done, when we pass and we go to be with you. We want you to be proud of us. So, Father, for all those reasons, we pray, give us the strength today. Give us the power to overcome the temptations in our life. We pray that in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.